All right, Kamala Harris, whose main objective is abortion, has just received prayer and was likened unto the biblical Esther during a worship service at a megachurch in Georgia. This is an unbelievable story, and we're going to cover it today in today's podcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. It is Tuesday, October 22nd, and boy, do we have a story for you today. Listen, can you do me a favor? Can you help me out? Help get eyes on this podcast and on this particular message today. And you can help me do that by hitting that like button. You can take it a step further. And we would love for you guys to subscribe and hit that bell notification here on YouTube or Rumble, wherever you may be watching. We want to welcome you guys on Apple and Spotify as well. Thank you for joining in. And as always, if you enjoy our content, please help us out by giving us good reviews. That helps us get the word out as always. And of course, if you don't have our free app, we would love for you guys to swing by your Play Store and pick it up today. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Again, download it, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. Every prophecy viewpoint, every podcast we do, every headline, every news article that we post, everything's going to be right there at your fingertips. So, guys, before we get started on this big story, which, again, is an unbelievable story, I want to talk about this megachurch pastor, Jamal Bryant. He is the pastor of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Stonecrest, Georgia. I am very ashamed to say that this church is probably about a 40-minute drive for me, 45-minute drive. This church, I'm going to tell you right now, right up front, this church and pastor is the epitome of what we read about in the end days. When we read about the warnings that that Christ gave and the apostles of apostates and falling away and end time deceptive churches and so on and so forth, this is a perfect prime example. Jamal Bryant is no stranger to controversy. He preached a message, and let me pull this up. I want to show you this. Again, this is a little bit older information, but just for those who may not know this, we're going to give you a little bit of a backdrop on this. Pastor Jamal Bryant received a lot of flack when he got up before his congregation and told his congregants that Jesus was wrong 85% of his life. I want to scroll down here. I want to read this a little bit to you. Again, quote, I'm going to read this. This is an actual quote from Jamal Bryant. Jesus accepted his call to ministry at 30 years of age. He had been in carpentry since he was 13. He ran the family business since he was 17. At the risk of being heretical tonight, might I suggest to you that 85% of the life of Jesus, he was out of order. Let that resonate for a minute. This man is telling us, or not us, but he told his congregation in Georgia that Jesus was out of order 85% of his life. He went on further to say that 85% of his life, he was doing what, quote, he was not called to do. I'm going to read this quote. God, y'all done got quiet. For 85% of his life, he was not flowing in his God-given function. 85% of his life, he is doing what his natural father wanted, but it did not line up with his defined DNA. 85% of his life, he's anointed, he's called, he's chosen, and he's wrong. Again, this is a pastor that's telling his congregation that 85% of the life of Jesus, he was out of God's will, he was wrong, and he basically was wasting his time. And then this same pastor yet again sparked a firestorm after this incident.
Pastor Jamal Bryant says he's thinking about launching a cannabis business at his church.
He's pastor of New Birth Missionary Church. During a recent interview on the Cool Soror podcast, he said the purpose would be to attract new members with a focus on black men to help the church's membership.
You heard that correctly. This man is promoting a cannabis business in his church with the intent to attract black men to get more people in the church.
He also explained that another goal of starting the marijuana business would be to drive entrepreneurship in the black community. Pastor Bryant did not, however, give a time frame for the project.
So that's what we're working with here. So now let me bring you to the latest here. All right. This just took place. This is from the Christian Post. Again, Kamala Harris. You can see her pictured here. If you're watching the visual of this, there she was apparently at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church this past Sunday in Stonecrest, Georgia, where in which all of the, I guess, the prayer intercessors and the elders and the deacons and whoever these people were, they surrounded her so that they could pray for her. And I want to read this to you. Quote, megachurch pastor Jamal Bryant of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Stonecrest, Georgia, urged his congregants to go out and vote if they hadn't already after, now here's where it gets unbelievable. After likening Vice President Kamala Harris, the Democratic presidential nominee, to the biblical Esther, who became queen of Persia and rescued her people from a murderous plot to annihilate them. Now, are you like me and you're sitting here scratching your head like, what did I just read? What did I just hear? This pastor is liking Kamala Harris to Esther, who delivered her people from a murderous plot. Jamal, do you realize who you're anointing? You are asking God's blessing on an individual whose main platform is taking the life of children from the womb, aka abortion, aka the spirit of Moloch that is alive and well. Now keep in mind, this is also the same individual who mocked pro-life protesters at her rally when one yelled out, "Jesus is Lord," and she turned and said, you must be at the wrong rally. And it was a condescending remark to him. And yet you're going to anoint this woman and bless her and call her a modern day Esther. Let's read on. With Harris, who celebrated her 60th birthday on Sunday, sitting not far from his pulpit, Brian preached from Esther 4:14 and pushed a conspiracy theory that the Heritage Foundation's Project 225 is a plot to destroy minority communities. Wow. Now, where's our beloved fact checkers on that one? Where are you at, Facebook fact checkers? I don't see you. Where are you at? And the words of Marvin Gaye, "You can't throw up both of your hands. We've got to do something now, ladies and gentlemen." In ancient scripture, we find an occasion where they were plotting to destroy all the minorities because they wouldn't break. So this dude actually believes that Trump has a plot to destroy the minorities. Okay. They came up with a strategy on how it is that they could destroy minorities, and they crafted an agenda called 0025. And in Project 0025, here it is that we find in scriptures that they wanted to fire every person who did not agree with the dictatorship. They wanted to end the independence of the Department of Justice. He went on further and pointed to the think tank's proposal to dismantle the Department of Education, limit abortion, including a reversal of the FDA's approval of abortion pills, and make the tax code more favorable to business. Stop. Are you kidding me? So this pastor is furious and he's defending a woman. He wants a woman to be put in office so that the FDA can stop the reversal of approval of abortion pills, aka this pastor is a standing of the approval of abortion. Unbelievable, guys. Unbelievable. That's why I said apostate. How can you be a representative of God? How can you be a pastor of a flock and stand for abortion? This is unbelievable. He went on, I got to put this up here because this is so unbelievable. You won't even believe me unless I show you proof of it. He went on to say that, quote, like Esther, Bryant suggested that Harris was, quote, called by God to lead at this time and urge black men to support her. Quote, something is wrong with brothers who don't know how to support a sister. It was a sister that raised you. It was a sister that taught you how to read. It was a sister that taught you how to bathe yourself. It was a sister that raised you when other people were not around. The megachurch pastor told his congregants as the women of his church exulted, quote, it takes a real man to support a real woman. And I'm so glad I got some real men in this building who are not intimidated by educated women. Are not intimidated by articulate women and who are not intimidated by women who are anointed to lead. He went on later to extol Harris as a, quote, modern day Esther. Can I just preach to the vice president? Question. He asked as the congregants applauded, quote, who knew this 60 years ago today you were born to be president? You were born to lead a nation. Lead a nation into what? Lead a nation to repeat what Pharaoh did when he wiped out all, when he made a mandate to wipe out all the firstborn? Really? Lead a nation to do what? To be another Herod who also did the same? Who gave the decree to destroy all the male firstborn? And this is even more heinous because it's not just the first male born. This is all children. It's so unbelievable that we're having this discussion. I want you to stop for a second, guys, and think about this. We are having a discussion about a self-proclaimed pastor, a shepherd over a church, who is advocating the shedding of innocent blood, supporting it, standing behind it, and anointing a woman who could potentially be the next president of the United States, whose entire platform and premise is based on abortion. Welcome to 2024 and the end times. And just think, you got people out there that say that we're not in the times of the end. How much more do you need? How much more evidence? How many more signs do you need? How strong of birth pangs do you need to get you to wake up? He went on to say that, quote, you were born. Let me pull this back up so you can see this. You were born to change the trajectory of democracy. Oh, really? As if we need to change the trajectory of democracy. Who knows? But, quote, you were born for such a time as this. It's so cliche and it's ridiculous. It's disgusting to say such a thing in relation to what we're talking about here. Bryant went on further to even accuse state election officials of trying to disfranchise voters with just 2 weeks to go before the presidential election on November 5th. Quote, no matter what they try, they cannot stop what is getting ready to happen. They can try to purge the rolls. They can make it illegal for you to bring water and bring chairs to our seniors. They can move the polling stations. They can try to hand count the ballots, but they did not know we are already on the midnight train in Georgia, he declared. Quote, over 1 million people have already participated in early voting in Georgia. So this dude thinks that all these early voters in the state of Georgia are all supporting Harris. And I notice he is accusing election corruption on the right, but he fails to mention anything that happened in 2020. He also appeared to reference a song by Sean Diddy Combs in his message. Now, that should tell you all you need to know, guys, about the spirit that's operating from this man. This is disgusting. Not only does his pastor promote, defend, and advocate abortion from his pulpit and anoint a presidential nominee who's all about this as their platform, but now he's referencing a disgusting individual who is going to go to prison for life for doing things that I can't even repeat on this podcast. And yet he references a song. Why is this man even, he's a pastor and he's listening to this filth? He even went further to say, quote, if God has anointed us to flip the state once, we can do it again because, quote, if God is for us, who can be against this? This idea cannot be stopped. Who's God, Jamal? The God that you keep referencing, sir, is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not Jesus Christ, because my Bible, the one I actually read, and I question whether you read yours, first of all, my Bible is clear that Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. For you to get up and behind your pulpit and tell your people that Jesus was wrong 85% of his life and he was out of the will of God is heresy. Number two, I would never advocate, whether it be white men, black men, brown men, yellow men, or any race or any ethnicity, I would never advocate the sell and distribution of a drug in the name of filling seats for my congregation. And number three, I definitely would never, never give a platform or a pulpit to an individual whose entire platform is based on the shedding of innocent blood. And my Bible makes it clear that there is seven things that God hates, and one of them is the shedding of innocent blood. So I don't know why you keep taking these scriptures and quoting these scriptures and referencing that God's on your side. You, my friend, are in deception. Brian even urged his congregation to go to the polls after church and then prayed that God would assign 100,000 angels to protect Harris. Why? No, ain't nobody after her. And last time I checked, it wasn't Harris that had bullets flying by her ears. He went on to say, quote, "I wish at the end of my life, the only thing they can find wrong with me is how I laugh," Brian said, as Harris smiled before he pronounced his blessing on her. Well, sir, I got bad news for you. And I know none of your people's going to do this because they're too scared, and they're probably afraid they're going to lose their job or their positions of authority and their titles or whatever they are at their church. So somebody's got to do this. But I think when you get to the end of your life, you better be fearful of standing before the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say unto me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now I'm going to do a different angle here. Now think of the contrast difference here of what we're dealing with. Then we had, let me take you back to this, since we've got you on here, we got a little bit of time here. Is this okay? I want you to hear from these pro-life students. You know, the ones that were mocked at a rally and thrown out of the rally by the Harris campaign. Well, they were recently on Fox and Friends, and I'm going to pull them up here. I'm going to pull this up, this clip, and I want you to hear this.
"We remember Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade.
And these sick people are booing that. Oh, no, we want to have the right to terminate our kids. We will fight until we can terminate our kids. It's unbelievable, guys.
As he intended. Jesus is Lord. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
Yeah, let's cheer Jezebel as she's persecuting believers here. Unbelievable.
No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Yeah, the smaller one. Like where? In Pennsylvania, where there was like 10,000 people outside of that McDonald's where Trump was there serving the people. Oh, that's right. The smaller one. Yes, you're correct.
All right, so that moment we brought to you yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today, we'd like to bring in those students who yelled that out to Kamala Harris. Two pro-life students at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, both juniors. Luke Pulaski and Grant Beth join us now. Luke, Grant, thanks for being with us this morning. Luke, I'll start with you. Just take us into that moment. What happened yesterday? We see the video clip. Is there anything more you can tell us about what you guys had to say and what happened afterwards from that video?
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here. I would say the first thing I want to bring up, this is our first time taking an interview with anybody, and I think it's important because this is our raw, like, untold story. There's a lot that happened off camera that we said at the protest, while we were protesting. And I guess we could start off with after she talked about overturning Roe v. Wade and Donald Trump, I yelled out to the crowd that abortion is the sacrament of Satan. And when I said that, I deeply do believe that as a Christian. And about 10 seconds go by.
Come on. Amen, brother. We all agree with you.
And that's when the video of my friend Grant and I proclaiming that Christ is Lord and Jesus is King, when we said that. And I think it's important to say this.
Yeah. Now, listen, when they said that, when you yell out the name of Jesus, we've talked about this many times. You can name out any other God. You can name out alleged prophets of God and all this stuff. Nobody really flinches, but you start yelling out the name of Jesus, especially in an event like this, you're going to stir up every devil in hell that's present. And it's not surprising that what's getting ready to happen here.
This is a small venue, and we were about 20 to 30 yards away from Kamala at this point. There's a lot of controversy that says she wasn't talking to us, or we left, we didn't get kicked out. Well, I can speak on Grant and I's behalf. On video, Grant's getting pushed and shoved. And there's about 5 seconds after or before she tells us to go to the smaller rally down the street. You can see on the video, she waves. She was actually waving to me. I took this cross off my neck that I wear. And as we were getting asked to leave, I held it up in the air and waved at her and pointed to her. And she looked directly in the eye, kind of gave me an evil smirk. And I just want to clear that up and confirm that she 100% was talking to us. Mm-hmm. And there's other controversy that says we left. We were getting shouted at, pushed, assaulted, screamed at. So we were walking away. But there was about three attendees there, volunteers, that kicked us out with badges or whatever they had. And I specifically remember this one man saying, "You were uninvited and unwelcome to this event. You need to leave." And all they did was walk us out the door. They didn't tell us why.
And essentially they're saying, your God's not welcome. Jesus is not welcome.
Cops escorted us out. No Secret Service. And that's our story.
So where was this event held exactly?
This was held in our University of La Crosse's gym. So
did you pay tuition to go to the university?
I do pay tuition to go to the school, yeah. But this was a free event. This is in a really small venue. They only said there's about 2,500 people there, which when she told us to go to a smaller rally down the street, I didn't really think that for a political rally, there could be smaller than 2,500 people.
But that's hilarious.
You were allowed to be there. You paid to be there.
Yes, basically. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Grant, I want to get your point of view from there. So is there anything you want to add to Luke's story? And what did it feel like? I mean, she basically said, You said, or Grant said something about, or Luke said something about Jesus, right? Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. And she said, you're not welcome here. I mean, I want to know what you felt in that moment and if there's anything you want to add to his story.
First of all, thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Charlie, for having us. You know, we're very blessed to be here. We're very blessed to speak on the national stage. It's important that we get our message out in any way possible.
Look, I don't want to say kudos to whoever the parents are of these young men. You can tell they did a good job. They did right. I love that. And I admire that. Being that I'm getting older, I see those things, acknowledge that. And I just want to say that.
First of all, we didn't really intend on, you know, going at any people. People online were calling us MAGA fascists. That was never our intention, going to this rally. We were only here to protest our faith, and we did so. We never expected this to grow as large as it was. Essentially, she was speaking, and we decided to say, Christ is King, Jesus is Lord. And we got a lot of backlash. As you can see in that firsthand video, I was pushed by an elderly woman.
Of course,
we were heckled at, we were cursed at, we were mocked. And that's the biggest thing for me personally, in reflection of the event. Jesus was mocked. You know, his disciples were mocked. And that's okay. In reality, we did God's work and we were there for the right reasons.
Now look at the contrast difference. We did God's work by declaring that Jesus is Christ, Jesus is Lord, and opposing the shedding of innocent blood. And on the other side of the coin, you've got an alleged pastor over a large congregation who is anointing a woman who wants to reverse Roe v. Wade and give rights to the shedding of innocent blood nationwide. And Jamal is saying that she is anointed to do God's will. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And I'm going to leave it up to you. You go read your Bible and you come back to me with take your political lenses off. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent. I'm talking about read the Bible and what it says. And then you tell me who's right and who's wrong here.
And God is watching us in this moment. You know, I'm all about being a cordial person, no matter your beliefs. But I do believe that we were sent there by God. And I do believe this timing, you know, 18 days before the election, is imperative for young Americans and first-time voters like myself to understand that this is what you are going to get with a Kamala Harris presidency.
Wow. Boom. He dropped it right there, guys. That's why I said, you know, I've, you know, for the longest time, I try not to get political, but to me, this is not politics. When you're standing for the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of life, that is not politics. That's morality, friend. Let me say that again. When you're standing for the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of life, these are things that are biblical. These are standards of morality. This is not political. We're not talking about politics here. So we can't be silent about this anymore. They can label us as talking politics or whatever you want, but this, when I stand before God, he's not going to ask me, well, who'd you vote for open borders, or who did you vote for tax incentives, or who did you vote for this? That stuff, again, that's not biblical stuff as far as the black and white stuff. But when it comes to, again, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, this is biblical. This is, again, a standard of morality. And I love what he said there. This is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to expect. This is what to expect if this administration, I'm talking about the Harris administration, wins the election. This is a prelude or a taste of what's coming. All of you Christians listening and watching this, you better get ready for major persecution because it's coming.
You are going to get the Kamala Harris that alienates over 50% of the U.S. population that is Christian. You're going to get the Kamala Harris that skips the Al Smith Memorial Dinner.
Come on.
That no major presidential candidate has skipped.
Think about
it. Since, I believe, Walter Mondale in 1984. Over, you know, now over 40 years ago, I'm a 20-year-old man. That's double my life. So that's a long time for someone not to attend that event. That, along with our experience on this day, it's a good storm for the opposition. And it just proves what type of person Kamala is and what type of leader she will be.
I'd love to ask you this question out of my own curiosity. Luke, I'll put it to you. And I know it's a difficult question because I'm asking you to put yourself in the mind or experience of someone else, meaning that person could be Kamala Harris. But when she responded that way to you, you and Grant, I'm curious what she understood about you. Like, what had you made clear? That you were a protester, that you were pro-life. We all hear you say, Christ is King, Jesus is Lord. Did she understand your message? I want to know specifically what she is rejecting. I know you can't know because you weren't in her mind, but you can know, what did you make clear?
Yeah, so I said Jesus is Lord due to the abortion, Roe v. Wade she was talking about, which me and many Christians around the world disagree with her stance on abortion. And we wanted to kind of send in a message that, you know, as Christians, at least me and Grant, we don't accept or agree with her abortion policies.
Well, you're not alone, brothers. You got a lot of people that are standing with you.
And that we believe that Jesus is Lord and that he has the final say in everything we do. And it's something we center our life around. So I guess we wanted her to know that.
Right.
Grant, I think you guys are two really brave boys. They don't call it the People's Republic of Madison for nothing. You guys went right into the lion's den, and you are brave and courteous, as I can see right here. And I just really admire you, and I just want you to know that I think your message is resonating.
And very wise young men. And you'll never get an apology from the Kamala Harris campaign, but I hope you get an apology from the university because you had every right to be there.
Thank you, guys.
Charlie, if I...
Guys, look at these two young men here. This is what we need to pray for our young people. And when I was watching this and listening to this, this reminds me of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the midst of Babylon, they made an intent. They chose to set themselves apart. They... before they ever was in the heat of Babylon, they purposed in their own heart that they would not defile themselves. And this is what these two young men remind me of. And this is what we need. We need a generation of young people like this to rise up. And Daniel said, they will know their God and do great exploits that will not back down. That will keep their face like flint and represent the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, J.D. Vance was, recently, he spoke out about this, what this incident that took place, and he calls this spiritual warfare. In fact, during a recent speech that J.D. Vance did in Ohio, where he appeared to reference the exchange during his own rally in Wisconsin Sunday afternoon while speaking about his Catholic faith, during his speech, an attendee shouted, "Jesus is King," to which Vance responded, quote, "That's right. Jesus is King." He described Harris's rhetoric as anti-Christian and suggested it reflects a broader issue in modern politics. After sharing about his return to faith as a Catholic and being baptized in 2019, Vance referenced what he described as VP Harris as, quote, anti-Christian rhetoric. Guys, he nailed it. I know he's a professed Catholic, but he's nailing it on this. Quote, "I say this as a Christian, as a person who was baptized for the first time just a few years ago. There's something really bizarre with Kamala Harris' anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy." So, guys, I agree with J.D. Vance. This is spiritual warfare. These are the times of the end. It's only, today is October 22nd. We are 14 days, 2 weeks until the presidential election. And election warfare is at an all-time high. This is why it is imperative as believers that we need to be educated, we need to be prayed up, and we need to be aware, alert, and sober and vigilant. That's what the Bible consistently says about the end times. Be watchful, be awake, be sober, and be vigilant, because we're in perilous times, and we're right on the front lines of this thing. So, guys, today, I wanted to give you this information out to you again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please go by, pick up our free app. It's available on Apple and Android. Hit yes to push notifications, and this is how you can be squared away with everything that we put out. And of course, listen, we are a partner-based ministry. If you enjoy our content, you support us, you're equipped, you're informed about the times and seasons which we're in, and also on your practical Christian walk, which we do a lot of equipping messages, and you wish to partner with us, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website. If you're watching by podcast or by YouTube, excuse me, up at the top of the, on the live chat or even in the comments, you'll see where it says support in bold letters. It's pinned to the top. You can just click that link there. Or if you wish to get by check or money order, you can do that right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So, folks, we appreciate you taking the time this afternoon to be a part of this podcast. We're going to be right back here tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We've got another update that we want to give you some imperative news that we want to relay to you that's important, and it's going to deal with the nations of the world. So you don't want to miss this tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, same time, same place, same channel. So until we see you in a few hours, I pray the Lord's blessings upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.